Turn this portion of service over to Brother Paul.
Well, I tell you, that's what we're here for, is to remember the cross and to remember the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, to me, it's not a matter of debating whether he resurrected or whether the tomb is empty. Yeah, I just know that it is. And I know that he dwells above. And I know that he paid the supreme price that was needed in order to procure my salvation and your salvation if you've been saved. We'll try not to hold you very long. And be careful whenever that a preacher says that. And be careful whenever that you see him put his watch over here to watch the time. There's a story about a little boy, and I may have told this here, but about a little boy and his father went to church. And, you know, his father was explaining to the little boy everything that was taking place, the singing, the prayers, everything like that. And so the preacher stood in the pulpit, and he took his coat off. And so the little boy said, "Well, now, what, Dad, what does that mean?" And says he's getting ready to preach the word. And pretty soon he rolled his sleeves up and said, what's he doing now? I said, he's really going to get in to his preaching. Well, pretty soon he put his watch over here. And the little boy said, "Well, Dad, what does that mean?" He said, "Son, that doesn't mean a thing." So I will make excuse for myself that there's always a glare on the clock back there, and you wait, somebody will fix that. No, it's good to be here with each and every one, and we pray today that you'll hold this day not only for today in your heart, but throughout the year and throughout everything that you do, because this very day is the reason why we have this privilege to be called a child of God. And, you know, we think about songs like "The Old Rugged Cross," and "Had It Not Been for the Cross of Calvary," you know, we would be nothing more than the rest of the religions in the world or the rest of the philosophies. It would be just one more to put on the shelf. But thanks be unto God today that Christ arose. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's there to intercede on behalf not only of us as children of God, but also those that come unto him for salvation. So if you have your Bible with you today, turn with us to the first chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. This was written by Paul, the apostle's traveling companion, Luke. He's referred to as the beloved physician. And you notice that Luke wrote, of course, the book of Luke, and then he wrote what happened after the resurrection. And traveled with Paul all over that part of the world, helping Paul in the ministry that he was involved in, missionary work. But he wrote down this particular book, and it's almost like a diary, if you will, a journal inspired by the Holy Spirit about the working of the Holy Spirit through his people and through his church. So starting with the first verse, we find these words. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until that he was taken up after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles that he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking the things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom? And they were referring to the kingdom of David. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now he said this to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, and this would be our text, verse text for today. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And we want to stop there for just a moment. We may go down into the remainder of that chapter, but our thought, as we said before, will come from about the middle of the 11th verse, where the angel said unto them, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. And that's what we would like to speak about today, is this same Jesus. We spoke about him as he lived his life, as he lived and went about doing good, and went about healing the sick, and went about raising the dead. And this same Jesus, the Bible will tell us today, went all the way, the pathway to the cross as far as here on this earth, ends kind of at this point, but the work goes on. And you know, for the most part, the disciples, they were amazed at his resurrection. They were very much astounded at what had happened. And I think that probably, if it had been me there, I would have gone back in Jerusalem and or maybe gone out where John used to baptize and just find me a cave someplace and be satisfied with it. But he had a task for him, and he gave him a commandment. And he told them that he would be with them, even unto the end of the earth. And we want to speak about that. This same Jesus that was crucified, resurrected, seated at this right hand of the throne of God at this very moment, is the same Jesus that is with us today. And he said in one place, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. And when we come together in one accord and we come together to sing praises unto him, you know, we might think to ourselves, well, I don't know if I really feel anything or suspect anything or sense anything, but I want you to know he's here. And he said that he would be with us. And he said that he would be with us even unto the end. So this same Jesus gave commandments unto them, but first of all, they were to go into Jerusalem, and they were to pray until that they were endued with power from on high. Why? Because through the Holy Spirit, they were going to declare unto, for the most part, a heathen world, a pagan world, that couldn't have cared less about hearing the gospel. And they needed to do it in power. We find that the apostles at different times would question Jesus about this one and that one and what this one is going to do. And even after that, he resurrected. There was a time whenever that they met together, and whenever that Peter, who was always the spokesman for the group, said, now what is this one over here going to do? Now that would have been me. I would have probably looked at John and said, you know what? He's just always hanging around Jesus. He's the one Jesus said that he loves, or John refers to him in that. And you know, he probably looked at John and he could not help but say anything. Now that's me. I see something, hear something, read something, and before I know it, out and about in the public, it's out of my mouth, and I'm in trouble. And my wife now carries duct tape just about this size. And she says, Don't say anything. You're going to get us in trouble. And I kind of envisioned that that's how that Peter was. But he looked probably over at John and said, what will you have this man to do? Now, I believe every one of those apostles, and just like us, every one of those apostles had a place that they were going to be taken, where that they were going to spread the gospel. That's what they're going to do. That's what we're to do. We're to spread the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe we weren't there whenever that the tomb was opened up and Christ was not there, or that he met with his disciples, but I want to tell you, we sing that song about how that he's in our heart. Brother, we can speak from experience of that. That there's a reality to knowing him. And I believe today with all of my heart that that's what this world needs. We don't need a solution to the budget. Now, you'll hear me out in the parking lot just griping and complaining about the price of this and the price of that. But that's not the problem. The problem is that men need to be saved. Amen. Men, women, boys, and girls need to be saved. And I'm going to be so bold as to say it today. Then, my friend, the problem is they've got a God-sized hole in their heart that cannot be filled with who's elected president, with how the economy goes, how the stock market is. It can only be filled by the one who came forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave on the third day. What are you going to have John do? You're going to send us all out. You know what Jesus said? What is it unto thee if he should live until that I come back? And oh boy, they ran with that. They ran with that. Why, Jesus is going to keep John around until he comes back. And that wasn't it at all. What John was going to do was to do his part. And whenever that he had written many of the other epistles that Paul did not write, God took him, and on the Isle of Patmos, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God opened up unto him the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those things which were, those things which are, and those things which would be. And you know, today, my friend, I think we're starting to see some of those things come to pass that John saw. And someone will say today, well, why did John write in the manner that he did? Because of the marvelous things, the terrible things that he saw could not be described to the full extent as John saw them. Peter, he told in one place, he said, verily I say unto you, Peter, he said, thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Peter was going to go as John did. Only Peter's calling was going to end with him in Rome, being after preaching the gospel, after writing the epistles that he did. One day, Peter would lay down his life and follow his Lord as he wanted to do before Christ was crucified. And according to what tradition tells us in this verse of scripture I've read in your hearing, Peter felt himself so unworthy to be crucified upright. He prayed, dear soldier, dear emperor, whatever, let me be crucified upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified as Christ was. But until that time came that he was to go out into eternity, and until that time that Christ Jesus comes back, There were some things that the apostles were to do, and there's some things that are dear to us that we are to do. First of all, they were to gather in Jerusalem, receive power from on high, as we said, have themselves so filled with the Holy Spirit that there would be evidence unto the world that Christ was real and salvation was real and that Christ's resurrection was real. You know, that commandment is still in effect today. And you might say, well, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to be an apostle. But you know, he has sent you out into the world. It's not by accident, first of all, that you've been born. And someone will say, oh, Lord, you don't know my problems. But no, you weren't born by accident. No one is born by accident. Nobody is insignificant. Nobody is low on the totem pole. My friend, every one of us are on the same level. But I want you to know that God can use us, and God will use us as we go out into the world. And the closer that we get, just like they prayed in that upper room, the closer that we get unto God, I want you to know the more apparent that the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling within us comes forth. I remember several years ago, I was between pharmacy jobs, and I remember a friend of mine had just opened up a pharmacy over in Lebanon. And I remember that I went over to fill in for him and work for him. And he said, now, I'll have a technician there. She's going to help you with the insurance and this and that and the other. And so as I drove over there, I prayed, oh Lord, whatever this day holds, let me be used of you. Got there and made acquaintance with the technician. I may have told this story before, but it just goes to show, if you surrender unto God and you give the day to him, give yourself unto obedience unto him, he can use you. And he will use you today. And so whenever that I got there, the young lady was helping me, and somehow we got into conversation, and she said, you know, I heard him say that you're a preacher. Well, kind of tell me about that. And I said, well, before that I tell you about that, I got to tell you about what happened before that. And I said, I was lost and I was separated in as much darkness of sin as anybody could be. And I told her my experience of salvation, having been saved in a store warehouse on August 29, 1971. And I said, I've had that peace in my heart. I've had that assurance in my heart. Salvation is real. A walk with Jesus is real. He is real today. And she just marveled at it. And, you know, we discussed it. And she said, well, I go to such and such church. And she said, I go with my mother. And, you know, whenever that I get there, I feel this draw to go up to the front and pray, but I don't know what to do. She said, my mother comes up there and prays, and I pray, but, you know, I just kind of feel a bit worse, and I just don't understand it. And I said, Rochelle, it's God dealing with you. I said, I can't look at your heart and tell you whether you're saved or whether you're lost. But I can tell you this. If you follow that draw, wherever that it's at, it may not be in church, it may be in your car, it may be here in this pharmacy, but you feel that tugging in your heart, and you feel that compelling that you need to pray, you get to that point, you ask God what to do. That's what the Apostle Paul did whenever that he encountered Christ on the road to Damascus. He said, what do you want me to do? I'm here. And so I said, the next time you feel that, you pray. And you pray and you ask God to show you where you stand with him, whether you're lost, whether you're saved. And I said, he'll do the job. And he won't leave you dangling out here. Several months passed. Never saw her again. But I was working in another pharmacy, and they called up. And on the other end of the line was Rochelle. And she said, I've been looking for you. Where in the world have you been? And I said, well, here, there, and yonder. And she said, I couldn't get your phone number. I couldn't get this. I couldn't get that. But I just want to tell you about what happened to me. And I said, Rochelle, what happened to you? She said, the next Sunday, I took your advice. And she said, I felt that urge to go and to pray. And she said, I felt like I had to come to the front. But she said, I came and I prayed and I said, oh God, just show me. I want peace with you. I want to know that I truly know you. And she said, I prayed, and she said, people had left, my mother left, and it was just me and God alone. And she said, all of a sudden, there was just this peace that came over me. And that's what salvation is today. It's peace with God. And so, anyway, she went on to explain. She said, do you think I'm saved? And I said, I don't know, Rochelle. Are you? And she said, oh, yeah. He said, that's why I wanted to talk to you. She said, I knew that it was, but I just wanted to talk to you about it. And brother, that's what God has sent us into the world to do. Now, I realize today that there are going to be persecutions, and there are going to be heartaches, and there's going to be obstacles that will be thrown in front of you. My friend, we look at somebody like the Apostle Peter, and goodness sakes, the places that he went to, what he wrote and everything, but I can guarantee you this one thing, that Satan fought him every step of the way. Why? Why? Same reason why he tried to have Jesus killed whenever that he was born. Same reason why that when Jesus went to the cross, he tried every way to stop that. He doesn't want people to be saved. He doesn't want people to find peace with God. The turmoil that gets our attention in the world, all of the things that are taking place, it gets us off of the most important job that we have. And that is taking the gospel to someone else or to tell them. Now, I'm not saying that you come up to people and you hit them with the Bible and say, I'm going to tell you about being saved. Now, if God leads you to do that, that's between you and God. But you know, by the characteristics of your actions, of Christ dwelling in you, the hope of glory, they're going to see that there is a difference in you and the rest of the world. And the curiosity will get the best of them. I'll guarantee it to you today. They'll want to know why that you have the demeanor that you do. Why that you have seemingly calmness that you do. Why it is that you are at peace and that you have a presence about you. And they'll want to know about it. They'll ask you about it. Some will and some won't. But today, my friend, Satan will try to put doubts in your mind. No, I won't do this. No, I won't do that. Just as he did with the Lord and wanted to keep him from going to the cross and resurrecting. And as also he did not want to see the gospel flourish in the lands where that it flourished. You know, today, my friend, we're no different. We may suffer persecution. I'm not here to predict what will happen in the future, but I can tell you there is an air within our culture, our society, that is so hateful towards the gospel and towards Christ and towards all of those things. But you know what? I've got a mantra now. I always tell my wife, someone cusses me out or fingers me or whatever. I said, well, honey, Christ died for them too. You know? And she said, boy, you can't keep your mouth shut, can you? But it's true. I've come to realize that. Christ died to give them the opportunity. What they do with it is between them and God. It is. It's between them and God. But I want to tell you about all that we are commanded to do is to pray for them. is to present the gospel to them. If it comes up, they ask you, why do you have peace? What's this thing about being born again? What's this thing about being born from above, having the presence of God? And you know, my friend, that's what this world needs. That's what it needed back in the days of the apostles, like Paul, like John, like Peter, like James, like all of them today. They did what Jesus said. And you know, the thing that was on their mind, as we read in your hearing, was, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of David unto Israel? And you know, I get caught up in that too. I just pour through Revelation in the book of Daniel and Ezekiel. And yeah, you asked me to do a study on the book of Ezekiel. And yeah, I'll probably tie Revelation into it too, maybe. But I want you to know, sometimes I get so caught up in that. My mom used to say about me, said, Paul, you're so heavenly minded, you can do no earthly good. And I think she's right. Well, I want you to realize today that, my friend, God has taken care of those things. You read it in the book of the Revelation, in the book of Daniel, and it's good to know those things and to look at the signs that are about us. Because, my friend, you don't need a newspaper. You can look into the Word of God and you can see that it's coming to pass just as He said that it would. But what are we to do? Now, I'd go find a cave if it was left up to me. And I've said that a lot. But I want you to know what He wants us to do is to take the gospel. My friend, if you give a cup of water to somebody in the name of the Lord, I want you to know you'll receive a reward for it. But most importantly of all, it'll have an effect upon that person with the Holy Spirit directing you. You might see somebody driving down the highway or somebody on the street, and if you're open unto God, maybe He'll move on your heart to pray for that individual. And time might not afford you the opportunity to know whatever happened, if that prayer was ever answered, but you pray it anyway. You pray it in faith. We are to take the gospel into all the world. Now, very soon we're going to have some friends of ours tell about some of the places that they went to with the gospel. And God might not want you to be a missionary. He may not want you to be, a foreign missionary or whatever. But you know, right out here in Elkton, and you might not think so, but right out here in Elkton and Flemington and Wablo and Wheatland, there is a mission field. There is a mission field out there. There are people, generations that are growing up at this very moment that have no idea what this is about. Their folks don't tell them about a crown of thorns. It's not spoken of. They have no idea whatsoever. They can tell you something about the New Age movement. They can tell you about some of the religions that they're affiliated with, but they cannot tell you about the Son of God. And that's where that we come in. And you might say, well, I'm not really one that, you know, that I could do something like that. But you know, just by making yourself available to God and being in the right place in the right time, there'll be somebody who'll take notice, and they'll want to know why that you have such peace and such an air about you that you're at peace with God. I'm going to close with this one thing I want to leave with you. This same book, Philip, one of the deacons of the early church, he was involved in a revival meeting in Samaria. Can you imagine taking the gospel to Samaria in that day and in that time? Jews didn't like Samaritans. Samaritans didn't like Jews. But Jesus died for them. And he was there in that country, and he was enjoying seeing how that the Holy Spirit had worked and what it had done and people that had been saved. And all of a sudden, God spoke to him, and he said, I want you to go down to such and such desert and wait there. Now, how many of you, if God told you to go over across the highway into that field and wait on him, would we do it? But Philip did. Philip went, and he waited, and probably questioned, why am I here? Why am I here? Pretty soon up over a sand dune, there came a chariot. There was an Ethiopian, a high official of Ethiopia, and he was going back to his country after having sacrificed in Jerusalem. And he had a scroll out or something, and he was reading out of the 53rd chapter, what we would call the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. And Philip happened to hear him reading it. And so he joined himself under that chariot, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what this holiday is that you call a holiday? Do you understand what Good Friday is? Do you understand what we call Easter, what that's all about? Many don't. But nevertheless, he said, he joined himself to that chariot, and he found the place where he was reading, and it had to do with the description of the prophet about the Lord Jesus Christ as the suffering Messiah who would give his life for the sins of the world. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless some man guide me? Well, to sum it all up, he opened his mouth, preached Jesus to him. And that man that had no idea what Isaiah was talking about, when they came to an oasis and they came to a pool of water, he said, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Now, how could somebody who didn't know about Jesus come up with that? It's because he believed upon the Son of God, and God did something in that chariot, and he knew that he had heard of how that Christ had been baptized and others after him. You might be a Philip unto an Ethiopian. You might be the very one that God would want to use. Now, Christ is coming back. He's got that taken care of. But in the meantime, let's remember what he said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world.